Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Ashley and I will bring you today's stories along with Jill Robbins and Alice Bryant. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, early results in the Honduran presidential election show that a television host has a surprise lead over the country's current leader. But both candidates are claiming victory after Sunday's voting. With 58% of the votes counted, Salvador Nasralla has 45.17% of the vote, and President Juan Orlando Hernandez has 40.21%. "I am the new president-elect of Honduras," Nasralla wrote on Twitter after the results were announced. Hernandez said in a brief statement that he had won. He asked supporters to wait for vote counts to come in from rural areas where he has greater support. The country's election court said it will wait until all the votes are counted to release the results later in the week. A close result could lead to further tensions in Honduras, which has suffered years of severe gang crime and drug wars. Hernandez has been credited with lowering a high murder rate, increasing economic growth, and cutting the deficit since he took office in 2014. But he has also been accused of connections to illegal financing. His opponents also claim that he is plotting a power grab. Hernandez's attempt to win a second presidential term was divisive in Honduras. The country is still dealing with the effects from a 2009 coup. Former President José Manuel Zelaya was ousted after proposing a vote on lifting term limits. Zelaya was at Nasralla's side on Monday morning. Many people believe that the former president may be a major beneficiary if Nasralla wins. A U.S. official said he did not think Hernandez would now be able to catch Nasralla in the vote count. He called this a real stress test for Honduras's democratic institutions and the leadership and character of its political figures. The United States views Hernandez as a reliable ally in handling drug trafficking, gangs, and migration. The U.S. has long-standing military ties to Honduras and few among current Central American leaders. Nasralla has not suggested he would reduce security cooperation with the United States. But U.S. officials do not trust his links to Zelaya.
Bangladesh has approved a plan to temporarily house 100,000 Rohingya Muslims fleeing violence in neighboring Myanmar. The plan would put the refugees on Bashan Char, an island in the Bay of Bengal that floods frequently. Bangladesh's government approved the plan on Tuesday to develop the island, despite criticism from humanitarian workers. They have said the island is nearly uninhabitable. The decision came days after Bangladesh completed talks to start returning the Rohingya refugees to Myanmar. Planning Minister Mustafa Kamal said it would take time to return the refugees. In the meantime, Bangladesh needs a place to house them. The project to house refugees on the island would be complete by 2019, he said. Many people are living in dire conditions, he said. He described the rising number of refugees as a threat to both security and the environment. A plan to develop the island and use it to house refugees was first proposed in 2015. The island regularly floods between the months of June and September. That is monsoon season for the area. It is 2 hours by boat from the nearest settlement. When the sea is calm, pirates sail around nearby waters and kidnap fishermen for ransom. More than 620,000 Rohingya Muslims have fled to Bangladesh since the military in mostly Buddhist Myanmar launched a severe counter-insurgency operation against them. The operation across Rakhine State followed attacks by Rohingya militants on an army base and police posts. Meanwhile, Pope Francis said the future of Myanmar depends on respecting the rights of each ethnic group. But he did not use the word Rohingya in his speech to civilian leaders of the country. Myanmar's Catholic Church has asked the Pope to avoid saying Rohingya because doing so could lead to strong reaction against the small Catholic community in the Buddhist-majority country. Myanmar does not recognize the Rohingya as citizens. The Pope plans to visit Bangladesh on Thursday. His visit does not include a visit to a refugee camp, but he is expected to meet with a small group of Rohingya in Dhaka, the capital of Bangladesh.
English has been called one of the most difficult languages for non-native speakers to learn. One reason is that English has so many rules, and almost as many exceptions to those rules. Sometimes this leaves learners confused. For example, the order of words in a sentence can be tricky. Another reason English is hard to learn is that the pronunciation of its words cannot always be predicted by their spelling. For example, there are at least 6 ways to pronounce the group of letters spelled O-U-G-H. And maybe the worst thing of all is that there are many idioms or expressions in English. You could say we use idioms like they're going out of style. So it is comforting to know that learning root words can help a non-native speaker use English. A root word is the most basic form of a word. Root words can help you to break down large, new words into smaller units to discover their meanings. Learning just one root word can help you understand several words in English. So by learning just 20 or 30 root words, you can expand your English vocabulary to include hundreds of new words. A root can be any part of a word that carries meaning, the beginning, middle, or end. Prefixes, bases, and suffixes are types of roots. The prefix appears at the beginning of a word, the base in the middle, and the suffix at the end. Most English root words come from the Greek and Latin languages.
One useful method for building vocabulary through root words is to first look at the base word and then look for familiar prefixes and suffixes that go with that base. Let's try an example. The base word struct. It comes from the Latin word meaning build. Any English word you hear containing struct will relate to building, developing, or creating something. By itself, struct is not a word, but it is the basis for more than 30 words in English. For example, the word construct is a verb that means to build. The prefix con means together or with. So, construct means to put things together to build or create something. Adding suffixes to struct creates additional words. For example, adding ion in English makes verbs into nouns. When we add ion to construct, we get construction, which means the process or act of building something. Adding the suffix ing to construct makes constructing. That is the gerund form and has a similar meaning as the noun construction. Adding the suffix ive to make constructive gives us the adjective form and means helpful in developing or improving something. Now let's build onto constructive. Adding the suffix ly to constructive gives us the word constructively and produces an adverb. It means doing something in a way that is helpful.
There are many other words that the base word struct produces. For instance, destruction is the opposite of construction. Destruction is the act of taking apart or damaging something that was built. Instruction means the act of building knowledge and has a similar meaning to the gerund teaching. And just like with construct, you can add many suffixes to destruct or instruct to get several more words. The suffixes may include ion, ing, ive, ing plus ly, or ive plus ly. So you see, by knowing just one root word, struct, you can get a better idea of the meaning of at least 15 words in English. A few other common root words include bio, meaning life, auto, meaning self, pro, meaning before or in favor of, and tele, meaning distance. Surely you recognize some of these roots. So choose one or two and write in the comments section all of the words you can think of that come from them. Join us again soon when we will discuss suffixes and prefixes. Learning common roots, prefixes, and suffixes will help you become an expert in deconstructing the meanings of English words and constructing a strong vocabulary. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Alice Bryant.
From VOA Learning English, this is The Making of a Nation, American History in Special English. I'm Steve Ember. The United States became a nation in 1776. Less than a century later, in the 1860s, it was nearly torn apart. A civil war took place, the only one in the nation's history. States from the North and the South fought against each other. The conflict involved the right of the South to leave the Union and deal with issues, especially the issue of slavery, in its own way. We examine how the Constitution survived this very troubled time in American history. The Civil War was fought from 1861 to 1865. 600,000 men were killed or wounded. In the end, the slaves were freed, and the Union was saved. Abraham Lincoln was president during the Civil War. He said the Southern states did not have the right to leave the Union. Lincoln firmly believed that the Union was permanent under the Constitution. In fact, he noted that one of the reasons for establishing the Constitution was to form a more perfect Union. His main goal was to save what the Constitution had created. One cannot truly understand the United States without understanding its Constitution. The document describes America's system of government and guarantees the rights of its citizens. The power of the Constitution is greater than any president, court, or legislature. In the coming weeks, we will tell the story of the United States Constitution, including the drama of its birth in Philadelphia in 1787. Before we do, however, we want to look at how the document provides for change without changing the basic system of government. If you ask Americans about their Constitution, probably the first thing they will talk about is the Bill of Rights. These are the first 10 changes to the Constitution. These 10 amendments have the most direct effect on people's lives. The Bill of Rights guarantees freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and freedom of the press. In fact, all of those and more, including the right to peaceful assembly, are contained just in the First Amendment. The second one states a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The Fourth Amendment protects against unreasonable searches and seizures. Other amendments say that people in criminal cases cannot be forced to make statements against themselves and have a right to a speedy and public trial by a jury. The Bill of Rights also deals with the separation of powers between the federal government and the states. In the words of the 10th Amendment, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. In other words, powers belong to the states unless the Constitution gives them to the federal government or prevents the states from having them. The Bill of Rights was not part of the document signed at the convention in Philadelphia in 1787. The delegates believed that political freedoms were basic human rights. Some of the delegates thought it was unnecessary to express these rights in a constitution. Most Americans, however, wanted their rights guaranteed in writing. This is why most states approved the new constitution only on the condition that a Bill of Rights would be added. This was done, and the amendments became law in 1791. One early amendment involved the method of choosing a president and vice president. In America's first presidential elections, whoever received the most votes became president. The candidate who received the second highest number of votes became vice president. The Constitution was changed after separate political parties developed. Then, ballots began to list the names of separate candidates for president and vice president. There were no other amendments for 60 years. The next one was born in the blood of the Civil War. During the war, President Lincoln announced the Emancipation Proclamation. That document freed the slaves in the states that were rebelling against the Union. Later, the 13th Amendment banned slavery everywhere in the country, but Lincoln never lived to see it. He was shot a week after the South surrendered. The 14th Amendment, approved in 1868, said no state could limit the rights of any citizen. And the 15th, approved 2 years later, said a person's right to vote could not be denied because of his race, color, or former condition of slavery. By the 1890s, the federal government needed more money than it was receiving from taxes on imports. It wanted to establish a tax on earnings. It took 20 years to win approval for the 16th Amendment. The amendment permits the government to collect income taxes. Another amendment proposed in the early 1900s was designed to change the method of electing United States senators. For more than 100 years, senators were elected by the legislatures of their states. The 17th Amendment, approved in 1913, gave the people the right to elect senators directly. In 1919, the states approved an amendment to ban the production, transportation, and sale of alcohol. Alcohol was prohibited. It could not be produced or sold legally anywhere in the United States. The amendment, however, did not stop the flow of alcohol. Criminal organizations found many ways to produce and sell it illegally. Finally, after 13 years, Americans decided that prohibition had failed. It caused more problems than it solved. So in 1933, the states approved another constitutional amendment to end the ban on alcohol. Other amendments in the 20th century include one that gives women the right to vote. It became part of the Constitution in 1920. Another amendment limits a president to 2 4-year terms in office. And the 26th Amendment gives the right to vote to all persons who are at least 18 years old. The 27th Amendment has one of the strangest stories of any amendment to the United States Constitution. This amendment establishes a rule for increasing the pay of senators and representatives. It says there must be an election between the time Congress votes to increase its pay and the time the pay raise goes into effect. The amendment was first proposed in 1789. Like all amendments, it needed to be approved by 3/4 of the states. This did not happen until 1992. So one of the first amendments to be proposed was the last amendment to become law. The 27 amendments added to the Constitution have not changed the basic system of government in the United States. The government still has 3 separate and equal parts: the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. The 3 parts balance each other. No part is greater than another. The first American states had no strong central government when they fought their war of independence from Britain in 1776. They cooperated under an agreement called the Articles of Confederation. The agreement provided for a Congress, but the Congress had few powers. Each state governed itself. When the war ended, the states owed millions of dollars to their soldiers. They also owed money to European nations that had supported the Americans against Britain. The new United States had no national money to pay the debts. There was an American dollar, but not everyone used it. And it did not have the same value everywhere. The situation led to economic ruin for many people. They could not pay the money they owed. They lost their property. They were put in prison. Militant groups took action to help them. They interfered with tax collectors. They terrorized judges and burned court buildings. The situation was especially bad in the northeast part of the country. In Massachusetts, a group led by a former soldier tried to seize guns and ammunition from the state military force. Shays' Rebellion, as it was called, was stopped. But from the north to the south, Americans were increasingly worried and frightened. Would the violence continue? Would the situation get worse? Many Americans distrusted the idea of a strong central government. After all, they had just fought a war to end British rule. Yet Americans of different ages, education, and social groups felt that something had to be done. If not, the new nation would fail before it had a chance to succeed. These were the opinions and feelings that led, in time, to the writing of the United States Constitution.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.